Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. State lawmakers headed back to Lansing last week to launch the fall session. Let's look at what the legislative priorities are for Michigan's House. With us now, House Speaker Tom Leonard, Republican from DeWitt. Mr. Speaker, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, Cynthia. I am happy to be here.
Let's start with auto insurance. You and other House Republican leaders have been in conversations with Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan about ways to lower auto insurance premiums. And you can hear an amen from almost every corner of Michigan, but especially Detroit. And one of the main components you were talking about was a guaranteed rate rollback. Last week, your counterpart in the Senate Majority Leader, Arlen Meekhoff, said he wouldn't support any plan that would force insurers to reduce rates. He calls it price fixing. What are your thoughts?
Well, let me say this. You know, I can only control what happens in the House. I can't control what happens in the Senate. But at the end of the day, we have got to see rate relief for the hardworking citizens of the state. I mean, everywhere I go, this has become a top issue for many, many people. And as you mentioned, it is not just a Detroit thing. And the mayor and I talked about this a couple years ago when he was looking at the de-insurance or a Detroit solution, if you will. And I told him, I said, Mayor, this has got to be a statewide solution. Everywhere I go, it doesn't matter if I'm in the Upper Peninsula, doesn't matter if I'm in Hillsdale, doesn't matter if I'm in Grand Rapids. This is a big issue for a lot of folks, and they need to see rate relief. So, again, I can only control what happens in the House, but I'll also say this as well. We've got a rigged auto insurance system that forces our consumers to purchase an unlimited lifetime liability with absolutely zero cost control. I mean, if we want to talk about free market and choice, I would say that the system we have is the complete opposite of that. So we need to look at rate relief, and that's where we're headed.
Do you consider rate rollbacks price fixing?
What I look at this is as fixing a rigged system. Again, we've got a system right now where people have absolutely no choice. They are forced to purchase an unlimited lifetime liability with absolutely no cost control or cost containment in the system. So I want to look at doing whatever we can do to bring all sides to the table so that our citizens can see serious rate relief when they get their premiums next year.
Now, the insurance industry has been pushing this optional approach where drivers can choose a cap on benefits in exchange for lower rates. How much support to this optional approach do you think is in the House?
Well, we will have to see, and that's a conversation we are going to have. You know, another issue I've talked to the mayor about, and he understands this, is at the end of the day, this is more than likely going to have to be a bipartisan solution. I don't believe the votes are there on either side of the aisle, 55, if you will, from one party. So this is going to have to be a bipartisan solution. It's going to take everybody coming to the table. But again, at the end of the day, I think I know rate relief has to be our top priority. It can't be about a giveaway to the insurance companies. It can't be about a giveaway to the provider network. We've got to stay focused on the consumer, and that's what I hope this plan will do.
Speaker Leonard, when you do a temperature check with members on both sides of the aisle, do you get a sense that the appetite and the willingness is there to come to a bipartisan approach?
We will see how it goes. I am really counting on the mayor to be able to deliver Democrat votes here. I know he is working diligently around the clock to do this. I will tell you, for the first time in 5 years, I've had several Democrats on the other side of the aisle have come to me and said they are seriously listening to this proposal. They are considering it. So, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm hoping we can get there. And I got to tell you, I've even got members of my own caucus who have never really been there on insurance reform who are really listening now, because when you start talking about serious rate relief for the citizens of this state, it really gets people listening.
What of local government pension reforms? What do you see moving on that front?
That is something I look forward to meeting with the governor and the Senate Majority Leader very soon. The governor just wrapped up his work group, if you will, and I know they just put together everything. So we will be meeting very soon. One thing I do know is this, and I think we have all agreed upon, is every local government is different. Some are in very, very bad shape when it comes to their pensions and their OPEB liabilities, whereas others, like where I live in Clinton County, they've done a phenomenal job. I believe they're 98% funded. So whatever solution we look at, it can't be a one-size-fits-all approach. You know, we're going to have to address the worst of the worst, if you will.
Because if you think about roadblocks, where do you see those? Because the whole issue of pension reforms kind of lost momentum when it was time to push it over the finish line earlier this year.
Yeah, well, I know this. That was a problem in lame duck last year. And I remember meeting with, the police unions, the fire unions, the local units of government, when we put the brakes on the legislation in lame duck last year. And you know, the one thing I will say that everybody did acknowledge is that there's a problem. I mean, when you look at here in mid-Michigan, you look at the city of Lansing, and my numbers might be just a tad off here, but I think their health care liabilities are $450 million, and I think they're only 14% funded. I mean, I have spoken to local Lansing retirees and police officers and firefighters, and even though some of them may not want to see reform, they understand that there's a problem and it's got to be solved. So, again, I look forward to having this discussion when we come back. No legislation's been written yet. We'll see where the governor wants to head. We'll see if the Senate has an appetite to take this up. But it's certainly an issue we've got to have the conversation and we've got to address soon.
I'm speaking with Michigan's House Speaker Tom Leonard. And let's go over to education. The Federal Department of Education rejected Michigan's school accountability plan because it doesn't have an A through F grading system. Can you see a way clear to revisiting that?
This is an issue that I certainly look forward to sitting down and talking with our education chair, Tim Kelly, about. I have not had an opportunity to chat with him yet, have not had an opportunity to review that report. One thing we do know is that when taxpayer dollars are being spent, schools need to be held accountable anytime taxpayer dollars are involved, whether that be a public school or whether that be a charter school. So we certainly have to have accountability standards, but I also know on the flip side of that, there are privacy concerns and other concerns. So I look forward to having that conversation and making certain that we've got a students-oriented approach, if you will.
It's very clear, Speaker Leonard, your wish list includes reforming delivery of mental health services in Michigan. You appointed a task force that has been holding public hearings across the state. What have you learned?
What I have learned is that this is a very big problem. And, I've been clear to the folks that I've spoken with. I said I would much rather under-promise and over-deliver versus over-promising and under-delivering. And at the end of the day, I feel we can make some very substantial progress, but it very well may be just a few raindrops in the ocean compared to what we actually have to do to fix this system. But I am very proud of the task force that has been going around from county to county, city to city. We've got 7 Republicans, 7 Democrats. And, another thing that I have learned is just how big of an issue this is to real people. We've been having these town halls, or the work group has been. And we thought maybe 15, 20 people would show up. We've got packed houses showing up, wanting to help, wanting to address this issue. This is an issue that affects every Michigander. They've got close friends, family members that have suffered from mental illness. And I look forward to delivering real results for them this fall.
Where would you start?
Well, again, good question. We are collecting the information right now. The work group is on a listening tour, if you will, to find out how best to address this. But what we've got to look at doing is the best way to connect individuals to services. When you look at our corrections budget, a $2 billion budget where nearly a quarter to a third of our prison population suffers from some type of mental illness. And after somebody has committed a heinous crime, you can give them all the help you want, but it's too late at that point. The damage has already been done. So what we need to do is find better ways to diagnose folks, but also when they have been diagnosed, connect them to services so that they're not out there committing these heinous crimes, finding themselves in prison for decades on end.
Another issue before the legislature is whether to override Governor Snyder's veto of a bill that would accelerate the phase out of applying the sales tax to the value of a trade-in when we buy a vehicle. I know it starts in the Senate. Do you think the Senate should vote to override the veto? And then do you think the House would follow suit?
Well, that is a good question. That's one you'd have to ask Senator Meekhoff. I've been very clear about this. I do believe it's the right policy. The auto industry is a huge deal for our state. I personally do support overriding the veto. But again, it's going to have to start in the Senate. And then if the Senate decides to take it up and if they do override the governor, once it gets to the House, I will have that conversation with my caucus. And if they choose to go that route, then we will do it. But as for me personally, I'm fully supportive of doing that.
How would you characterize your relationship with the governor heading into this term?
Oh, I would say it's very good. We have worked very well together over the past 8 or 9 months. We've gotten some good things done. I mean, You look at Lansing, Lansing is not like D.C. It's not broken. We got our budget done 4 or 5 months in advance. We finally all came to the table and addressed our broken teacher retirement system. The governor has been, I will just say he has been strongly listening on the no-fault issue. I know that's a big issue for him, and he's all in trying to help us with mental health as well. So the governor and I are right there together on some of our state's biggest issues, and I look forward to working with him over the next 15 months as we tackle them.
House Speaker Tom Leonard, we want to thank you for taking time to be with us today on Stateside.
Hey, thank you so much, Cynthia. Appreciate it.